Hi, I'm Peter.
And I'm Len.
And we're the Ukrainians. And we're on The Raven and the Blues.
On Talk Radio Europe.
Coming from the band Rupa and the April Fishes, opening up this special Raven and the Blues on Talk Radio Europe, on Skybird Radio, and of course as an MP3 file across the world. As you can hear by the acoustics in the room, we're not in the usual studio on the houseboat on the Thames. We're actually on the road in a lovely town called Sines in Portugal, south of Lisbon, north of the Algarve, for a fabulous 10-day long world music festival. And so for 1 week and 1 week only, we go away from the blues a little bit and we feature some of the world music that's appearing here on the stages in both Porto Covo and in the town of Sines. Rupa and the whole band are here with me, and Rupa, really, I'm quite surprised because your performance last night was just so electric and so vibrant, and in many respects kind of different to the music I'd heard on your MySpace page. Was it different?
How would you describe the difference?
Yours was, last night I would say, was far more Eastern European. Does that make sense? Almost klezmer. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't heard that in your work on MySpace.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. And is it right, though?
Well, yes, I think that is right. I think part of that has to do with the body of work that we were playing last night was broader than what we played on the album, and also we have a different accordionist
on now than
we did on the album. And Isabel definitely brings more of her own background. The accordionist on the MySpace, Adrian Yosch, is from Switzerland, mm-hmm. and he plays out of a very strong like French musette style. Mm-hmm. And Isabel was trained in Romania and plays a lot more klezmer.
So there we are.
I just blame it on her.
So when you think of an American band, you therefore think of all the influences that have made America the country that it is and all the music that's there. What you don't expect is something like the music that you do. So how do such disparate individuals get together and meet and decide, yeah, we like each other and we can play music, which is like the way it is? How did it all work? Who's going to come in on that? Identify yourself as well.
My name is Safa Shokrai. I'm the bass player.
Yes.
I would say a large product of that is our neighborhood. We all live in the same neighborhood in San Francisco, and it's the Mission District. There's mm-hmm. a lot of musicians and artists who live there, and we all see each other performing in various other groups. We see each other hanging out. We talk. There's a great exchange of ideas and inspirations going on.
The roots, in fact, of what you do, or what I saw last night, actually, is multifaceted across most of Europe and other parts of the world, too.
You
brought in lots of different influences.
Absolutely,
you?
Yeah. Such as jazz, Argentine tango, musette, corridos from Mexico, cumbias from Colombia, music from all over the Balkans. And then, of course, many different styles of rock music, even reggae and hip-hop. And, I mean, it's basically just that we've all been exposed to so many styles, and we try to organically voice our ideas through those styles.
Rupa said you were the new person in the band, effectively. Changed it in a way? Have you made it more of a, is it more of a party band now with your Ukrainian roots kind of thing?
Oh, no, I don't think I've made it more of a party band. I think that's like a natural evolution in where Rupa is going as a songwriter right now, and that's what we're feeling right now. But I do take certain solos and certain techniques that I bring from my studies in Eastern European Roma music. So
it's been really great to see you working. If you get a chance to see Rupa and the April Fishes on stage anywhere, it's their natural environment. They are just so fine. Let's go back to Rupa to close, if we can. As it's obviously a kind of a work in progress, in the sense that you are continually changing and evolving, if we follow your MySpace page, presumably in 6 months or a year's time, will we hear a very different sound, do you think? Or?
Well, it's interesting, because I feel recordings should be a different kind of art form, allow artists to express themselves with more subtlety and differently than what you can do on stage. Mm-hmm. It's the difference, I think, between film and theater. You can, zoom in the camera with film and direct the audience's attention very specifically. And on stage, you're, large, and people, it's fun to watch people party together and come together from different walks of life and just share a moment. So I think what you'll hear on the MySpace will reflect our new work that we've recorded. We just finished our second album, Este Mundo, which will be out in November. We recorded it with an amazing sound engineer who really captured the depth and beauty of all of the acoustic instruments, Oz Fritz. He's recorded Tom Waits and the Ramones and a list of people. He's an amazing person to work with. So that's probably what you'll hear on the MySpace. But if you want to get a real sense of what we do, it is an evolving thing, like life. And I think what I find interesting music, it's not static. It moves, it changes, it reaches in new directions depending on what is salient and important to what's going on up here.
It's like love. It changes, develops, and grows.
It must. It's like a fine red wine. Gets better with time.
Rupa and the April Fishes, thank you so much for being our very first guests on this week's Raven and the Blues from the World Music Festival in Sinj, Portugal. Let's have a track from your album, which came out a couple of years ago, called Extraordinary Rendition, and La Pêche.
Je suis la pêcheuse. Je suis sans personne. Je suis la pêcheuse, la boussole dans le ventre, la pêcheuse. Dirigeons-moi vers mon destin.
This is The Raven and the Blues, the special world music edition coming from the great town of Sinage in Portugal and the FMM, the World Music Festival. And now to a band who are UK-based, and in fact they're mostly UK, I guess they're called the Ukrainians. And I've got the two founding members of the band, that's Len Liggins and Peter Solovka, who are with me now. And I'm afraid, gentlemen, I'm going to start with the question which I know you've answered hundreds, if not thousands of times. But for many of the people listening to the show this week, you're going to be a new name to them. And the whole history of how the Ukrainians came to be and where you came from is something they don't know. So in a case of, say, a couple of paragraphs, see if you can encapsulate how you come to be where you are today, if that's possible.
I'll do it as quickly as I can. I grew up as part of a small Ukrainian community in North Manchester, but I was never really closely part of it, but I was always aware I had these roots. When the wedding present had a chance to do a session of something different, me and Len, who'd been playing Ukrainian music together, joined with the wedding present and played what we thought were some interesting and novel tracks, and John Peel liked it. We then did another session with other Ukrainian musicians as well that we brought in, and eventually it became like an established part of what the wedding present done. There's like two paths that we were on, and then from 1991 onwards it was the Ukrainians' path that we followed ever since, really.
Therefore, did you leave, if you like, the wedding present, the alternative kind of that side of music? Did you happily leave that behind and say that was in our past?
It's hard to say happily leave it behind, because I think one of the things that we do as the Ukrainians is we mix the ethnic roots with that indie guitar feel.
Yeah.
And so we haven't really left anything behind. We've brought on everything that we've had from our experience in the past.
Because the kind of indie background is part of our heritage.
Like, yes,
you know, just like the Ukrainian music.
Yeah,
Ukrainian
but back then, music. Back in the early 90s, how easy was it for you to actually do that on stage? The audience had to be presumably converted, did they? Or did they? I mean, for the wedding present fans who came along, was it a shock for them, or did they happily move along with you?
No, I think the we actually did a tour with the wedding present actually playing. Mm-hmm. And was it 1989?
Yeah, it must have been about 1989.
Such a long time ago.
20 years ago.
Yeah. 20 years yeah. ago. And so the wedding present fans were aware of that.
Yeah.
But I think now, if you look at the people who are fans of the Ukrainians, they're not necessarily people who've got the wedding present background. They're people who just have come across our music and like it.
And you were trailblazing again. I mean, looking at some of the acts who have been on stage here at Portakova for the music festival and also will be on for the rest of the week, there's a big klezmer, Ukrainian, Eastern European heritage. Mm. And you've been way ahead of the curve on that, haven't you?
I think you're not the first journalist to have mentioned that this year, to be honest. it's interesting. It's a little bit flattering, I think, because as individuals, we've only done what we feel is right. It's us.
Right.
And I'm quite sure that you can't turn around and say that we're the first and the original. We just do what we are.
Yeah. We weren't really expecting anybody to follow.
No.
You know, we weren't expecting, you know, the last thing you would have thought at that time was that there was going to be some kind of world music movement. You know,
yes. Because I suppose that's true, yes, because there wasn't really world music as we know it.
There were a few bands that you could call folk rock bands. I think the most notable of them all from the 80s was like the Pogues.
They were
trailblazers.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But there was nothing that ever did anything like that with Eastern Europe. And I remember when we first presented our music to people in Ukraine. We actually went there in 1992, and they said to us, serious journalists said to us, why don't you sing in English? You'll make more money that way.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, you've got a long way to go. Yeah. But now, I mean, there are lots of bands in Ukraine who will go down this particular path and start to mix their roots with other cultures too.
Yeah.
So it's quite nice to see.
When you go to Ukraine, one of the questions I had really was is it like the English blues bands going to the States and taking it back? I mean, is it the same feeling for you? How do the Ukrainians sort of take to it?
It's very hard to put it into one category. There are obviously some who really appreciate what you do and they see it, and other people who just think your music is silly. And maybe some of the, you know, sort of like, how unmodern is that to be using mandolins in staged music?
Yeah.
It's like any country, there's a whole different perspective of the way people appreciate music.
This is The Raven and the Blues on Talk Radio Europe. You're listening to Len Liggins and Peter Solofka talking from the Ukrainians. Let's hear the title track of their new album, Diaspora. Track of their new album Diaspora, the Ukrainians on The Raven and the Blues, and I promise you that's a number when you've heard it a couple of times, perhaps even just the once as you've heard it now, it sticks in your brain and stays there forever, a real musical earworm. Let's move now to some of the influences that you brought in from other bands like the Smiths and the Sex Pistols. How did that happen? Was it kind of an organic thing?
I think sometimes it's a combination of two, particularly in the early days. We like to make sure that people realise we had these indie roots by covering indie classics in a Ukrainian style and showing that for us the two actually mix and they fit and they work.
It works even more when you see you doing it live, I think. Yeah. I mean, I listened to the music before I came, obviously, but then seeing you do the Sex Pistols on stage last night, it sort of went, that makes so much sense, you know.
I think that's the thing that surprised people at first, was that, that they might read in a music paper somewhere that we'd covered the Sex Pistols or done a Smith song or whatever, and they think, well, how can you do that and have folk influences as well?
Yes,
but actually, when you hear them on the albums, people will say you can't see the join. You don't know where the folk stops and where the cover of the indie stuff starts.
Yeah,
and that was never really a kind of conscious thing to meld it in that way. It's just, like I say, it's the result of what we do, you know.
But when I heard Anarchy in the UK last night, I thought it almost seemed like yours was the original and and the Sex Pistols had sort of made an English version of it in a way.
Yeah. It feels like that when I play it as well. So for me, it feels that's how the song should be played.
Yes, of course.
It's got the right instruments and it's got the right feel, it's got the right rhythm.
Actually, the other thing is that because the nature of, you know, the music that we play is quite fast, it's amazing how slow the Sex Pistols seem by comparison now.
Weren't they you terrible?
They did seem, you know, from the perspective of now, they actually seem quite slow.
Far too laid back, to be honest.
Yeah,
you mentioned the speed. I mean, the light and shade in your set, it varies from pretty fast to very fast, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
You still want some slow, don't
you? Yeah, there were some nice, tender moments as well, I think. But
yes. It's been a joy talking to you, gentlemen. Thank you so much for your time on the Raven and
the
Blues.
No, thank you.
And the merchandising bit now. Where will people find? Well, it'll be on the Raven and the Blues website, but where is the best place to find out more about the band?
www.the-ukrainians.com.
Or the-ukrainians.
Oh, yeah. Not dashes, hyphen.
Yeah.
The-ukrainians.
A lot of people aren't going to find it.
In fact, if you just put it into Google, we come top of the list.
That's right, yeah.
But remember, it's Ukraine with an R-A-I-N. Two I's in Ukrainians.
Not Ukrainian.
Yeah, everybody spells it Ukrainians, but it's, yeah, okay.
Well, I'm
labouring that point a bit, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, okay. I'll shut up now.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Thank you.
Raven and the Blues, and what a contrast there between those two tracks. You had Anarchy in the UK by the Ukrainians, and then the ethereal Too Many Cooks by Portico Quartet, who are with me now. Based in London, and I have in front of me the whole band. That's Jack Wiley on soprano sax, Milo Fitzpatrick on double bass, and then Nick Mulvey and Duncan Bellamy, who play percussion, and more importantly, the hang, the kind of combined steel drum from Trinidad and the gamelan of Indonesia. And I guess the first question, gentlemen, is probably one which you get so often, and that is the hang like becoming like an albatross around your neck?
It's okay. You know, we've dealt.
That's Duncan. You're the one, according to MySpace, found it. Is that right? You found it in a music festival somewhere and discovered it.
Yeah, well, I saw it at a stall. Me and Nick both did, really, but I bought the first one.
Right.
But no, you know, it's an unusual thing, and people are obviously intrigued. And you know, it's.
But were you waiting for something like that? Were you waiting for kind of a portable gamelan steel drum type thing? And when you heard it, do you think?
Certainly not.
No, right.
Not at all. We were just, you know, about 18 years old at a festival and just enjoying the party, and then stumbled across this unusual instrument, and we were both blown away by it, and both got hold of a couple before we even knew these guys, before we even lived in London.
Oh, I see, right. And then we come to 2007 and the album, and yeah. The album was recorded then, and then came out towards the end of 2007, or was it early 2008?
It was the end of 2007, November 2007, Bonfires Night, actually.
Right. And then an amazing rollercoaster ride then, really.
Yeah, I mean, immediately after the album came out, we were getting kind of... It was doing quite well, yep. I think. And then, I mean, the thing that made a big difference in our career was getting nominated for the Mercury Music Award, yes. And that's just a huge boost, especially for a small band like us. Mm. I think that basically gave us a lot of... made people like much more interested in us, and meant that, you know, people would give us funding to do interesting things and give us bigger gigs, and it's a big PR push, basically. Mm. Helpful.
Now I read again, it may have be a bit of Wikipedia nonsense, but I read that the hang, which is made in Switzerland, am I right? They've actually stopped selling them now, and you now have to be auditioned, or is that the correct description?
Auditioned, no.
Auditioned,
no, but they are very hard to get hold of.
Right.
We went over there a couple of weeks ago to get ours retuned, and they had a new batch for sale, even though I'd heard before that recently that they weren't selling. There's a lot of hearsay.
Yes.
Partly because they, as a company, PanArt, don't have a website and really refuse to kind of engage in modern, globalised business sort of practices and such. And so it kind of means there's a lot of mystery shrouding the instrument.
I mean, you said retuned. I mean, I kind of thought it was going to be a bit like the... Trinidadian steel drum things, where at the end, when you arrive somewhere, you've got a small hammer out and tune it up. It's not that way, is it?
It is, pretty much. But we didn't, you know, they did that themselves, you know.
So are they sensitive beasts, are they? Do they have to be?
Yeah, they are. And they take, I mean, partly because to get them retuned takes a lot of travel and such that we had to look after them.
So the fly case is kind of well padded, is it?
Yeah. Well, we got some cases.
And so for busking purposes, I mean, do they alter temperature-wise too? I guess they do.
They do, yeah. In both extremes.
Yes.
Hot and cold, they change. It's slightly sharp.
Mm.
But then they usually come back to in room temperature.
They're amazing instruments. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys work tonight. Let's close now with another track from the album, and this is called Sitagatse. And where can people find out more about you guys? Where's the West... web page to go to?
www.myspace.com/Portico Quartet.
Gentlemen, thank you so much. Excellent.
Pleasure. Thank you.
This is The Raven and the Blues on Talk Radio Europe, and our special programme coming to you in its entirety from the town of Sinj in Portugal and the World Music Festival. And now our live guest, Carmen Souza.
Corista fundi com natureza. Calor traz fogo no céu.
Tá na vanda, corre, corre, da fré.
Cor vermelho, sabor sabe. Esse terra, o sol quente, tá brilhando.
Raven and the Blues on Talk Radio Europe, also on Skybird Radio on the east coast of the USA, and also as a podcast across the world. You've just been listening to Africa from Carmen Souza, and the first half of it was from her album, and the second half was her live recording done especially for this programme. Cape Verdean, kind of, because your parents are, but you were actually born in Portugal, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's it.
And so the influences, therefore, are from your parents, but not from you growing up in Cape Verde.
Yeah, well, you know, the communities that come to Portugal, mm-hmm. Cape Verdean communities, they bring all that environment. And so even though you're not being raised in Cape Verde, yes. you have all that environment brought to you.
and you know, you have music, and your family always surrounds you with stories, and you know, the way of living.
Yes.
And that's what influences, that's what brings you closer to your roots, instead of just going in through into a whole new thing. That's where you were. I was born in Lisbon. Mm-hmm. So maybe I should be more connected to the Lisbon roots, but instead I'm right in the middle.
So your passport says Portuguese.
Yes,
but you are in every respect Cape Verdean.
Yeah, yes.
Is the way that you therefore grew and developed with the Creole influences in Cape Verde, but also the massive influence of living in a great music city like Lisbon.
Mm-hmm.
So you are kind of like a mixture of the two, were you, when you were growing up?
Yes, yeah. Yes, I'm right in between. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up listening to the old LP records.
Yes.
In the turntables, you know. Mm-hmm. And we would hear Bana, we would hear Voz de Cabo Verde, we would hear Cesária.
Yes.
And then we could put out other completely other tunes, you know, and or listen in the radio to Fado or something like that. And although maybe I don't consider myself as a Fado listener or as a Fado, you know, person who mm-hmm. pursues Fado, but that's something that comes with the roots of
right.
Lisbon too, you know. And even if I don't know, that's inside me too.
And so when did you start singing? Was it at a very early age? Did you always want to sing?
Well, because my father played the guitar, I was always connected to that side of music, because he would come home and he would play the guitar, and that's when I would feel connected to it. And because I grew up in church, you know, you have all that musical environment of the gospel and everything. And I did start with a gospel choir back in 98.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, that just came along. Then I met Tel, mm-hmm. who is the musical director and my mentor, and really the person that I really look up to, because he's been so important to me, showing me, you know, the way to see music and a lot of other things, you know. And we've been working together for like 10 years now, and we've been composing and, you know, growing up musically. It's something really looking for a high level of ourselves in music.
You mentioned Teo Mascal. You met him 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And how did he discover you? Were you singing in church, or how did it happen?
Yeah, I was singing for an audition mm-hmm. for that gospel choir.
Right.
And he was one of the leaders at mm-hmm. that time. And he chose me, and he saw something in me right at that time. And that's when we just started working. You know, and I'm actually glad that he saw that in me, because no one else could.
you say he mentored you.
Yeah.
Did he? Is it molding you, or is it a meeting of the minds, and you work together, or has he actually sort of, if you like, created you? Is the wrong word, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't. He's not. A kind of you know, he would show me things and let me see things for
right.
myself, you know, and let me grow up for myself. So I started playing the piano, he said, oh, go here, go there, and something like that, but then he doesn't put my hands on the piano so mm. that I can play. Now discover yourself, and that's the main thing that he made me see. He said, discover yourself. That he would say always, look, I've had all the help that I could get mm. from other fellow musicians that I've known, and the main thing that they told me was to discover
yes.
myself
to
as
be
a
yourself.
Bass player.
That's right.
And that's what he told me. He passed that story to mm. me. He said, look, music is this, just discover yourself. You have to be yourself, and that's the main thing that I look for in my music, not to hear this or that. I always love to have music, a lot of music around me, and listen to a lot of jazz records and everything. And but when I listen to them, I listen to the way that they discovered themselves, you know, so that that I can discover myself too. Like, I've been reading a lot of books, biographies of Horace Silver, and the way that he you know, started playing and started discovering that the way that he was playing, although a lot of people told that, oh, he can play, or Thelonious Monk, for example, they said that he was the right-hand piano player, you know, and but it was his way of playing, and you see, you hear now people talking about Thelonious Monk, and he was a great innovator of the piano playing, and that's what I try to discover in myself too.
Ser carinhos feliz tão especial, inocente nesse mundo inconsciente mal que te provoca. Te deixa sem marca na boa indefesa, delicado para um ser tão puro, princesa. Beli, danhas, próximo te proteger desse mundo, desse mar. Nunca mais me te deixa, ob indefesa, marcote, marcote, indefesa, indefesa. Tão inocente e indefeso que ao pensar está magoado. Ser indefesa é imaginar esta usada assim. Orgulho ferido na vida de quentes que te confundi, que irmãs indefeso, cobarde e dinhoso que canta enfrentar. Hoje não, hoje prefere esconder, descarrega frustração naquele inocente, sou puro egoísmo. Trazer alegre lá, picking out, que canta compreende, que te depende, que canta entende. Nos energia, nos cuidado, nos amor, te estraga um cheirismozinho lá. Oi, oh, 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 se boca tem nada de bom pra falar, fica calado, calado não posta. Pede Deus pra proteger desse mundo, desse mar. Pai, que amar qual mais, pai, que atropa sorrida, verdadeiros. É cedo demais vou experimentar, mas dá da gente que cá tem consciência de tentar destruir tudo que é diferente ou especial. Deus dá força para proteger, nunca mais está o sol. Deus poupa vida na minha mão, nunca mais querer falhar. Ele faz sei. Confia na mim, por favor, crescer, já mostrou a vida, é meu demais, do que as crentes não, vida total, bom tempo, para descobrir, aproveitar. Escalça peia, indefesa, boa pureza, ninguém pode estragar. Calvo já ninguém fazer boa vida. Escalça peia, indefesa, boa pureza, ninguém pode.
desta cara. Cabo Johnny me faz e boa vida escassa peia. Indefesa, boa pureza, ninguém pode estragar. Cabo Johnny me faz e boa vida escassa peia. Indefesa, boa pureza, ninguém pode estragar. Vem.
Your voice has been compared to greats like Billie Holiday, Nina Simone. And was there influence always kind of there in the background, or was it something you came to later in life?
Yeah, it was kind of always there. You know, I've been listening to a lot of music, and Billie Holiday, Nina Simone, Ella Fitzgerald. Yes. They always inspired me by the way that they used. Ella Fitzgerald, by the way, that she used her voice as an instrument. Mm. It looks like she didn't hear a lot of singers. She would hear the whole horn section,
yes.
You know. And Billie Holiday, that great characteristic of her voice, and Nina Simone, all that personality that she had, and what she would bring to the music, you know, and. That's what mainly inspires me.
And continues to inspire you? Where your inspiration comes from where these days?
It still comes from the same places, because you hear those musics over and over and over again, and you still discover a lot of things that you haven't heard. And it's very interesting, because we are playing tonight with Jay Corey. Oh,
yes, I know. And, I was going to that. You're so good. You were preempt my questions. Oh. In a sense. tell us how Jay comes to be with you.
It was very interesting, because he got to know Tel first, and then we were in the middle of the last album recording, and he said, "Well, you have to come and play and everything." And then we met at the studio, and we've done that song, and it was so interesting, because all those notes that he played, that sound, it's completely the sound that we were listening in the LP records.
Yes.
And it was so interesting, and it was a real growing up kind of session for me. And it's really interesting to, you know, speak to him about all those years that he's been playing with Dizzy Gillespie, Ella Fitzgerald, and Buddy Rich.
Yes.
Because, you know, you hear those stories, and you see the same things that we deal today with, I don't know, musicians and the audience and so many things. We still deal with them now in the 20th century, 21st yes. century, you know. And
something just don't change at all.
Yeah, yes. They don't change at all.
Your profile is getting higher all the time. Where do you see the next year or two? Where's your career path developing?
Well, I always look at my career as well as my life. I think that I want to grow up, you know, musically, and of course personally, those two come together.
Yes.
You know, and I just want to continue to be faithful to what I first started to, which is to bring a message to the people that listen to my music. And the things that I look for in myself through my life is peace, is hope, is positivism. And some might say you're too positive, but I don't think that you can be too positive in this world, because
I think it's
always
important. There are so many bad things happen in life. I think it's
yes,
important that we see
yes.
the glass always full.
Never would levity, no. You know, but always looking at things, you know, with time and thinking, you know, with everything in your head. But I try to look at things positively, and that's what I like to, you know, give people and show people, that my message is this one, and my mission through music is this one, to bring a little bit more of hope and joy to people.
Carmen, it's been a joy talking to you. Thank you so much
for
your time on the Raven
and
the Blues.
You.
If you want to learn more about Carmen, hear her music, just go to the Raven and the Blues page. Of course, the usual address, raven.dj/R&B. Look for the link to Carmen, and thank you so much for your time on the show today.
Thank you very much.
And that's it for The Raven and the Blues this week on Talk Radio Europe and on Skybird Radio, and of course as an MP3 file, coming to you from Cinege in Portugal and the wonderful World Music Festival. Next week we've got a few more guests, but we're mostly back to normal. Don't forget, links as always on the show at the Raven and the Blues webpage at raven.dj/R&B. If you want to drop me an email telling me what you thought of the programme, it's pretty simple. It's dave@raven.dj. And until next week when we're back in the studio from the lovely sunny town of Sinj, sitting on the balcony here, it's a joyous experience. Thank you for listening and have a great week. I'll talk to you in 7 days' time. Let's close with Carmen Sousa.
Da luta o pão senta, falta nasces milhão. Está passado riba, tudo aqui, travessar nasces caminho. Seis poder a lembrar na todo mundo, seis riqueza invejosa para toda gente. Tanta diga que nem o fome, nem o ser e o puro e saciar. Tanto dinheiro, tanto poder, com terra seca, com terra infértil, e dinheiro perde seu valor. De nada te valer, nada pude comprar. E agora que o tesouro juntaram na terra que te passa de pádia, é que te servi para salvar, é que te prestar nem para saciar. Tanto tempo passado, escravo dessa riqueza. Tanto tempo escravo dessa ambição. Oi, 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 oh, yeah. saber, vida tá sem valor. Moda uma página de livro em branco. Nada tem para dizer.